The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello, welcome to Grace in Focus from the Grace Evangelical Society. On this episode, we are picking up and continuing a series that was started last January on the Book of Romans with Catherine Wright and Ken Yates. And today our focus is going to be on God's wrath. Is there a difference in the wrath of God that is described in the Book of Romans and the coming wrath of God that is described in 1 Thessalonians? I believe that you will find the discussion that is just ahead clarifying and interesting. Our website, faithalone.org, is a place where you can find out a lot more about the Grace Evangelical Society and about our resources, and a chance to get in on the Grace Evangelical Society's 2023 Annual National Conference. It's being held this year again at Camp Copus in Denton, Texas, right on the lake shore there. Beautiful, beautiful place, and our theme this year is Vital Free Grace Issues. Great speakers, great fellowship, great food, great recreation, and a great place to stay. May the 22nd through the 25th, coming right up, so go to our website and find out what you need to know and get registered. We want to see you there. That's faithalone.org. So now let's get into today's discussion. Here are Ken and Catherine.
In this episode, we would like to deal with an issue that came up with a comment that someone made. And in fact, it was made by Bob Wilkin at the GES Bait office.
That's exactly right.
But we were talking in a previous episode about wrath in the Book of Romans.
That's right.
We talked about that in Romans 1, wrath there is in the present tense.
That's correct. They're in the theme verses, chapter 1, 16, 17, and 18, that the wrath of God is being poured out upon the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And so it's a present reality.
Right. And so the reason this is important is because a lot of people, when they think about the wrath of God, the first thing that pops in their mind is the lake of fire or hell, that's where people are going to experience the wrath of God forever. And you'll hear people say it like that.
Sure.
But here in Romans 1:18, as Catherine says, Paul says, at least here, that the wrath of God is something that we see right now. One of the things that we didn't discuss in that episode or that podcast was, well, how do we see the wrath of God right now? In what way? And in Romans 1, three times, Paul uses this phrase, God gave them over. It's for people who know the truth, they see the truth, but they reject the truth and choose darkness instead of the light that God has revealed. And these verses are found in verses 24, 26, and 28 in Romans. God gave them over to dishonor themselves. God gave them over. And here he talks about, for example, homosexuality and for various sins that he turns them over. And basically what he says is, if you are going to deny the created order, then I'm going to let you walk in the paths that you have chosen, and you're going to experience the wrath of God in your life. And in Romans 1, you can see that it just causes all kinds of chaos and destruction in a person's life. It's not just sexual sins, but just the way we treat our neighbors and everything. When people just turn themselves over to the lust of the flesh, this is what they're going to experience.
Just going back to, is that speaking of a future event, or is that talking about the world as we see it today? And I think what you see described there by Paul in chapter one is just turn on your TV and you see it. You see the darkened mind. Men can be women and women can be men. I mean, just those basic definitions have become distorted and their minds have become darkened.
And Paul says that when you see that, you are seeing right now the wrath of God right before your eyes. Mm-hmm. And so Bob Wilkin, he asked the question, is there a future aspect
well,
of
no,
the wrath?
Well, no, I referenced a future wrath, and he was like, well, what is that? He wanted it to be clarified what we meant by that. And I think that's a really good point, because there's going to be those who would say, okay, yeah, we see what you're saying. There is the present wrath, but also the great white throne, when unbelievers stand before the Lord and are cast into the lake of fire, that is also the wrath of God being on display. And we would say no. The great white throne is not a depiction of the Lord's wrath. He's not casting the unbeliever into the lake of fire because he's angry.
Yeah, and I think there needs to be a clarification. The great white throne is the judgment just of unbelievers.
Correct.
Believers will not be there. So the unbelievers of all time stand before the Lord at the great white throne judgment, and they are cast in the lake of fire. And is that a display of God's wrath? In other words, he's angry. He's angry at these sinners, and therefore he's going to punish them for their sin.
We would say no, that Christ paid for the sins of the whole world. And so unbelievers are not cast into the lake of fire due to God's wrath or anger, but that the great white throne is a display of God's justice.
That's right. The problem with the unbeliever is they don't have life.
Correct.
And so they cannot be in the righteous eternal kingdom where only those people who have eternal life will be. Their abode will be what is fitting for who they are, mm-hmm. those who do not have life. So it's not like God is punishing them for their sins, or Satan is there with his pitchfork and God is allowing Satan to turn them over with his pitchfork back and forth as they roast in the lake of fire. It's a place that is called the second death because the people in it do not have life.
There's so many reasons why that's important. But one of them is you often hear people say, well, if unbelievers are cast into the lake of fire in order to pay for their sins, eventually, wouldn't they pay for them? I mean, if they've been in there for 2 billion years or, you know, 6 billion years, at what point have they paid and satisfied God's wrath?
If this is a display of God's wrath for all eternity, doesn't there come a time where justice would say, okay, the penalty's been paid?
Right.
But it's not. It's because it's not a place. That's what we're arguing. It's not a place of his wrath. It's a place of God's justice.
And so when you see wrath in the Bible, what we're arguing is it's never referring to the lake of fire.
And when we see wrath in the Bible, it always refers to what we see on this earth in mm-hmm. various aspects of it. But there is a place or a time in the New Testament where it talks about a future wrath.
Right. And I think that's important because we're saying here in Romans, okay, this is a present tense wrath. It is being poured out. But don't we see places in the Bible where it refers to future wrath? And we would say yes, but again, that future wrath is not dealing with the lake of fire. It's dealing with something else. 1 Thessalonians, for example, we're dealing with the tribulation period.
Yeah, and I think we ought to go there. There's a couple verses in 1 Thessalonians that deal with a future wrath, but it's still something that is going to be experienced in this world. You can see this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. For they themselves declared concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers or saves us from the wrath to come. So Paul is talking to the church at Thessalonica, and he is speaking about a wrath that is in the future for them. And he says Jesus is going to come from heaven, and he is going to deliver you from this wrath that is coming. Mm-hmm. Now, some people would say, oh, he's going to come back and take us to heaven. That's what Paul is saying. The wrath is the lake of fire, and Jesus is going to come back and take all believers, and they're not going to be in the lake of fire. But that's not what's going on here at 1 Thessalonians, because if you keep in mind those two words, the wrath and he's going to deliver or save you, Paul makes it clear what he means by that. Catherine, why don't you read that? Chapter 5, verse 9.
Sure. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, it says, "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him."
As you all know, this is the famous passage in 1 Thessalonians that deals with the rapture of the church. Mm-hmm. And it really starts in chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. And he's talking about the rapture of the church. And there in chapter 5, he's continuing that discussion. And he says, "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain," and there's that word, "deliverance, salvation from the wrath which is to come." When the tribulation starts, the wrath of God is going to be poured out during that 7-year tribulation period. Mm-hmm. Christ is going to deliver or save the church from that wrath that is poured out. And there are some verses in the book of Revelation that brings it out that this is a time of God's wrath, mm-hmm. but it's going to happen on this earth. Some of those are Revelation 6:17. Where it says, talking about the tribulation period, "For the great day of his wrath has come, mm-hmm. and who is able to stand?" This is what Paul is talking about in the future when he writes to the Thessalonians, that mm-hmm. it's going to be during the tribulation period. Also, Revelation 14:10 and Revelation 16:1.
So whether it's Romans or Revelation or 1 Thessalonians, whenever you see wrath, it's never dealing with the great white throne and unbelievers being cast into the lake of fire. It's dealing with God's anger towards sin on the earth.
Right. Well, we hope you enjoyed that. And in all things, just remember,
keep grace in focus.
The Zane Hodges commentary on James, entitled "The Epistle of James, Proven Character Through Testing," is available at discount to Grace in Focus listeners right now at faithalone.org. Get half price through April the 30th, 2023, when you use the discount code word James. That's faithalone.org. Did you miss an episode of Grace in Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition, we have all kinds of free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode of Grace in Focus, Ken and Catherine will be in Romans chapter 4, a couple of illustrations from Paul about what it means to be declared righteous. Come back and join us for the next episode of Grace in Focus. This is the Grace Evangelical Society. Until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.